This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Well, an all-time great song during an all-time great week. Ah, the Birds!
Yeah, baby.
We celebrate today, but James Seltzer, we really celebrate tomorrow.
Tomorrow is, it's amazing that in 1 week time, I can have two of the greatest days of my life. Because I have one on Sunday, and I know tomorrow's going to be one of the great days
of
my life.
And it's so cool to have Jason with us here, who obviously was the star of stars 7 years ago when the city of Philadelphia celebrated, and obviously Jason's legendary speech. Look, we'll find out tomorrow who's the guy that rises up. By the way, Jason is big dumb.
Can I ask Seltzer a question? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Are you
playing the song because of Tiger or just because it's a banger?
Just
because
it's a banger. Yeah.
The Eagles fan Tiger Beck that passed away, this was like his favorite song.
Get really out of here.
Yes.
Well, that makes it that much cooler. Wow.
I thought that was awesome. Anyways, go ahead.
That's nice. All
that's
right, Jason,
awesome.
Does Big Dumb get to the podium tomorrow? We don't get to hear from him much, but the city of Philadelphia wants to hear from Big Dumb.
that would surprise me, but I mean, I would love to see it. So
it's not gonna happen. So, Jason, let me give you a compliment, and by way of compliment to you, but to Stoutland, and I'm even going to go to Andy Reid, and I'm certainly going to go to all the current players on the line who were all part of tonight's show 2 nights ago. So, I made this point about a week ago, and I think it's true. The two most famous lines of my offensive lines of my lifetime until the last few years were the Hogs in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Gibbs and the Hogs, and the Dallas Cowboys line of the 1990s. I mean,
Denver Broncos had a pretty.
Yeah, but
yeah,
not
but
as
it was,
famous.
Yeah,
not
like
as famous.
Stepnosky and Larry Allen.
They were stars.
I'm with you, Richie. I think that Denver Broncos deal was very.
It changed
regarded.
The league.
But they weren't stars. They weren't American stars.
Man,
Tom
Dalen,
Mark Schlereth.
Schlereth's the only one who liked
in retirement.
Yeah.
But Jason, here's my point, man. You guys, for about 10 years now, like, I think you have established, you, Stoutland, Mulata, Brandon Brooks.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Landon Dickerson replaced Brandon Brooks. Like, I lost a great all-time guard. I got a great all-time guard. Like, you guys, man, in my opinion, foundation of the Eagles. And I think it started with Andy and Banner and the way they ran this thing and the way they built it up. Howie learned from those guys. And, like, the pipeline, and you think about it from 17 since lost you.
Yeah.
Lost
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters. Yep. Lost Brandon Brooks.
Isaac Seumalo.
And it just keeps rolling on, man. It's really incredible.
No, it's one of the things that the Eagles have always done since I've been here is invest in the offensive line. And that predates, you brought it up, Andy Reid, that was big to him, and Joe Banner, and certainly Howie Roseman believes in that same philosophy.
It's what Buddy Ryan didn't have. They had all the skill position players, and they couldn't block.
Yeah.
Block.
And we saw what it did to the Chiefs in the game. Like, you know, and the Chiefs have a very good interior offensive line, but that's what's so hard about offensive line. You have one weak guy, they're going to find a way to expose him. You have two weak guys, you're screwed.
Right.
Because you can kind of finagle some things to mask one weakness. You got two. Good luck, brother. And, like, injuries to the offensive line are probably one of the reasons Andy got fired in the first place. Injuries to the offensive line are a big thing that crippled Chip Kelly. Like, the trenches are so important, and the Eagles have invested greatly in all of those, in all of the offensive linemen and defensive linemen, which has paid dividends towards our success. I agree. I think this line is turned into one of the great lines and has been great for a number of years now to be in that category. And the year that they just had this year with Saquon, that Jeff Stoutland put together, that, I mean, Jordan Mulata has turned into the best tackle in the NFL. At everything. Lane is still the best pass blocking tackle. Jordan, what he does in the run game and everything else is truly remarkable. This guy didn't even know how to play football 7 years ago.
So crazy. So
like, insane. I remember him coming in, and there's like 2 years of learning the game where you're like, I don't know if this guy's going to figure it out. Like,
wow. He's, yeah. There was a question as to whether he would be able to play football.
He didn't understand the game at first.
Yeah.
Right? And like, people don't realize it, but offensive line is one of the great, like, it's a position that is unathletic by nature. Like, you're taught techniques and things that aren't natural. And it takes time to develop that and to understand that. And I think...
That's interesting.
Yeah,
retreat while punching forward. And
if you had somebody just threw an athlete out there and had them play offensive line, there's no way they would do the proper technique and things that come natural, right? It's just, that's where it's different.
Yeah, it is unnatural.
And the best coaches find a way to teach those techniques while keeping it natural. That's something that Howard Mudd did a phenomenal job, and Jeff Stoutland does a great job of. But any of that, I mean, it didn't. The first 2 years into Jordan's career, it's like, you know, he doesn't know where the quarterback's at, so he doesn't know the proper angle, the set point. You know, he doesn't know what an inside zone is. He doesn't know what an overfront is. Like, any of these like rudimentary things.
That's incredible to think about. It's almost distracting for the guys who do know football to have a guy in the room who needs this stuff explained to him.
Well, that's why they didn't play him for 2 years.
Correct. Yeah. And he played a guy in practice. And this is what's so good about football. Like, there's a guy, Joe Osterman. Nobody in Philadelphia has a clue who this guy is.
No, I don't.
Right?
Yeah.
He gave Jordan a lot of fits in practice because he was a smaller, sawed-off end who wasn't good enough to start in the NFL, but was the perfect mismatch for Jordan Mulata early in his career.
Because he had to bend?
Because Jordan had to bend. He had to play with good balance because this guy was like jitterbug on the edge.
Yeah.
So you couldn't lean. You had to play with good feet and good hands. And and we're like, I don't know if he's going to be able. He can't block Joe. How's he going to block these starting ends? then he goes in there in a starting game, and he's blocking like in Pittsburgh, the best defensive ends in the league. And
you're
like, oh, maybe that's just like the worst mismatch possible for this guy. And now that he's playing somebody more appropriate in stature,
it's a great story, man.
So, anyways,
holy cow.
And to me, between this career arc of Jordan Mulata and Lane Johnson, both guys that have only had Jeff Stoutland. Saquon Barkley now holding this record, which is a big part of Stoutland's not only coaching of the offensive line, but game plan prep for the run game. This has been such like a career, not that he needed any more accolades, like for Jeff Stoutland and this offensive line group. It's just been phenomenal.
Look, I've made the point, I made it last week about Spagnuolo, actually, that I think non-head coaches should get Hall of Fame consideration.
Yeah.
And like a guy like Jeff Stoutland has impacted who has won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Twice. He has been a huge part of creating Super Bowl champions. I mean, to take Jordan Mulata and make him something and then make him exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, Stoutland
He's one of the only coaches who was a part of two Super Bowls,
know.
You know?
He's not going to get a Hall of Fame vote, and maybe in the next 100 years, no offensive line coach will. But I
have a feeling that's going to change.
I do,
because I think people recognize that now, and I think that there's going to be more pressure to put guys like Jeff Stoutland in, especially in a market like this. And there's not really another job that, like, if you want to get in the Hall of Fame as a coach, you got to be a head coach.
That's it.
They're not hiring offensive line coaches to be head coaches. So, like, why would you disparage, like, the impact that this guy has towards... I mean, I think everybody undoubtedly would say that Jeff Stoutland impacted two Super Bowls now.
Look, Jason,
to maximum for
that's
the
an interesting
Eagles.
Point, though.
What?
They're not hiring offensive line coaches.
Well, it's
to be
rare.
Head
Art Shell got it, and Bugle got it, but it's pretty
Andy
rare.
Andy Reid famously was an offensive line coach.
That's right.
But the if you want to be a head coach, you really need to go offensive line to quarterback.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Or somehow get somebody to give you an offensive coordinator position first, and then go.
Yeah. Like Hank Fraley.
Hey.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Who's he? The offensive coordinator?
Seattle. He's going to be offensive coordinator.
He?
Yeah, he's just got the job.
Been the O-line
Get
coach.
Out of here!
Yeah, I swear to God. Yeah.
Honey Buns. He's been the offensive line coach for the Seahawks.
Dude. He's been the offensive line coach for the Detroit Lions. Yeah. So like,
wow, I mean, he did a good job then.
He did a phenomenal job. I think he's going to do a great job in Seattle.
Oh, that's Hanks interesting. Really coach. All right, let's get some calls in here. Jason with us for a few more minutes. Parade day tomorrow, and again, more of the audio that the NFL released last night. We'll get to that shortly. Also, John, we got to have some fun with. We touched on this yesterday, but only for 2 seconds. Mr. T, yes, Mr. T. Released a series.
B.A. Baracus, Mr.
B.A.
T.
Baracus, Clubber Lang, Mr. T, released a series of pro Eagles tweets.
No way.
Wow. Not just me.
Are you going to do the read him in his voice again? Because that was a classic moment on the show.
I'm going to do
Hammer!
As Mr. T and see if I can nail it or not. But other people can have a crack also. You know.
Joe's impression.
I pity the fool. I pity the Chiefs. I pity the fools. It's kind of fun.
Here's a little taste of the last time just to get a feel.
Hey, man, curling's kind of. What's the thing?
Hold on, pull it up.
From the Winter Olympics a couple years ago. Hey, man.
That was an impeccable impression.
Curling's kind of difficult.
That was just Mr. T.
Nailed
that
it.
Was Mr. T?
Absolutely
nailed
it.
Mr. T.
What am I listening to right now?
Take some pity on me, man. I mean, hold on. Here's the appropriate one.
You don't change your voice.
Hold on.
Here I am. Why are you doing an impression if you don't change your voice?
I lay myself bare.
I lay myself bare, John. I try.
I will go on record. I think Rocky 3 is the best Rocky.
Oh,
thank you, Jason.
I do too.
Jason, we have fought to camera on this.
We agree.
We get into fights about it. Thank you, Jason.
I used to think Rocky 1 was the best, and selfishly, I always loved Rocky 4 just for like this weird like obsession of ridiculousness.
It's neon. Rocky 4 is neon 1985.
I think Rocky 3, and I think once I became a professional athlete, Rocky 3 became very interesting, and the story and arc of it became very like connecting with it. I don't know why. I mean, there is no tomorrow.
I'm disappointed.
You got Clubber Lang, you got Thunder Lips. Like, it's just the most entertaining. Thunder you got the beach stuff.
I think there's
99 minutes long.
The
it's
guy
great.
That's already climbed the mountaintop and then has to stay there resonated more with me. And these guys are going to deal with it now. This entire team is in Rocky 3 mode.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of Clubber Langs coming up.
Well, we'll have it'll be an interesting all season because, Jason, all jokes aside, hopefully they do a better job than you guys did. You know, I mean, it's no offense. 2018. Now, look, you had a million injuries. 2018, you had a million injuries.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Carson thing, he never really got totally back on track.
It's really, really hard to repeat in the NFL. And I don't even want to get on that because we're still focused on
we'll
this
get
year.
To it. Yeah, we
but
got
I think,
time.
Yeah, the reality is it's very hard for a number of reasons. And but I think I still – this team is younger and, like, they have so much talent across the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were very good in 2017. We also got very hot at the right time. Our quarterback got hurt. There was a lot more questions going into year two than I think these guys are going to have going into their second time.
Yeah, and I would think that the team – well, I'll say this. I hope the team is better prepared to replace the offensive coordinator. That was horrible luck with the frickin' McDaniels guy backing out.
Totally, at the late last minute.
Frank Reich way late. I mean, like, Frank is here, and then it's like, oops, no, McDaniels isn't the coach, now Frank Reich is gone.
Also, that team...
By the way, Frank Reich could be the guy here.
Yeah, it could. That team also went to one Super Bowl, and then, you know, never again. This team at least had lost a Super Bowl, knows what it's like to go to one and have to come back the next season.
As an organization.
As an organization, and a lot of the players.
I think we've seen, and this is one guy we haven't talked about today.
Oh, man.
Howie Roseman. You're talking about Hall of Fame.
Big time.
Like, I mean, come on now. This guy, how he's rebuilt the entire team from 2017, essentially. I mean, there's four guys, five?
Four.
Four. Four people on the team, some coaches. But the fact that he's rebuilt this entire thing is just such a, like, awesome moment for Howie. The way he structures contracts, the way he builds a roster, his familiarity with the salary cap. And now the biggest weakness that I think people have had on Howie was drafting in the past.
Yeah.
These past three drafts, I mean, what are we talking about? This is...
We couldn't draft wide receivers or cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And now, look at the cornerbacks
at
we just got. Look at the wide receivers we got. Yeah, like the defenders, the edge rushers.
Yeah. It's really... No, I agree entirely.
I think him being through this now, like, he's been through it already in 2017. He's seen, even in 2022, even though we lost, there was still a rebuilding thing a little bit with those teams. I think he's going to handle it a lot better as well.
Have you texted and you know, I'm sure some conversations, but a lot of texts to the guys.
For sure.
I mean, it's look, it's really special. Parade day tomorrow. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage here on WIP. We will be pregame of the parade because the parade starts at 11. Our show, normal time, 6 o'clock, into Joe and Hugh, into Spike, Ike, and Jack. It's just going to be wall-to-wall coverage tomorrow.
Will we be pre-gaming during the pregame?
I would say that I'm going to abstain from answering that question.
Yeah. Love that answer.
10 a.m., Rhea. 10 a.m., Rhea.
All right, let's get to it. But I will say this, Rhea.
Did you say 5th?
Rhea, here's where I'm at.
Nicely done, Rhea.
Well done, Rhea.
Might be or stay away from the liquor.
That's a good Irish laugh.
Well done by Rhea. And Rhea, I am very happy it's on a Friday.
Yeah. All
right. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Yeah. I'm so happy.
All right, let's get to Ed. He's calling from Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Jason.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tim.
Morning.
You're missing a great opportunity to pitch your garage beer for tomorrow's festivities, or
wow.
You may already have that covered.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be drinking a few for sure.
There you go.
Yeah, and you're speaking of the pleading the fifth. You know, I have to work from home, but you know, it's going to be on, and I'm not saying I'm going to, but I'm also not saying I won't. Maybe enjoy a garage beer or two, but it's gonna it's gonna be a wonderful event. And so I just wanted to talk about Cooper DeJean for a second, and just rewatching that play after another like 4 or 5 times, just how impressed. And I think he was mic'd up, or one of the other players was mic'd up, talking about the next level sort of acumen that's required. Like when you're in, I think they're in a cover 4 or cover 6.
Yeah, it was him and Bond talking about recognition.
Yeah.
Where he had that underneath zone, and to peel off your zone to recognize where that ball's going, it's just something you don't see in rookie corners. And I'm just thinking,
he's got an incredible feel. Feel on top of the instincts. And that's not going to go away. That's going to continue to be honed, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, and that's, there's going to be plenty of time to, talk about like off season, like where the Eagles will go in the coming months. But, you know, I'm just thinking about when the Eagles drafted Lane Johnson, I think the, you know, initial plan was for him to step in at left tackle, and then he never made that switch and he became the best right tackle of our generation. And I'm just thinking, well, Cooper DeJean can play outside corner, but he is so damn good at slot corner. Like, I could easily see him just staying there and becoming maybe the best slot corner in the NFL.
Oh, I think they should. Yeah.
And especially with his tackling. Know, he's a big, like, he's like pseudo linebacker guy in there, and that's a tackling spot.
He is perfect. This, I mean, like, if you could draw up like a prototype of size, stature, athleticism to play nickel in the NFL. Right, I mean, that's what,
because
you, this
he
what you
takes care of the linebacker part better than any other cornerback I've ever seen.
You're freed up to, like, you can do zone, you can do things where he's like responsible for a B gap in like a slot formation. You can do things where you can run man to man coverage on a slot receiver. That is such, these tweener guys are almost in some ways more important, just as important as these premier guys on the outside. Sorry, I did not want to interrupt the caller, but
no, we're good. Ed, great call, buddy. Yeah. Great call.
Look, the defense changed when Cooper came in. You know, it was after the bye week. He didn't play until then. Then all of a sudden, best defense we've ever seen.
That's right.
And we talked about him undercutting the route. And I think that, like, there's a way of playing the game where you do what's on the card and you do like what the rule is in the book. And then there's another side of it where the player allows his instincts to take over.
He knows better than the rules.
And I think that the balance of that is finding coaches that know how to get players to do that in a responsible and coordinated way. And the best players in the league don't just do what the coach tells them to do. And the best coaches in the league allow their players to be themselves naturally within the confines of the defense. So I just think that Vic Fangio, what he's gotten out of this young player and the defensive backs coaches, like, it's been phenomenal watching him and Quinnen come in rookie year and play at this level.
Yeah. It's so exciting to think about the way it's going to develop, these young players being as talented as they are. I played against Junior Seau every year for five years.
Freelancer.
Twice a year. Yeah, you want to talk about the freelancing, but all within the framework of the defense, it made it impossible to block him. He would always be right. He could always somehow manipulate the offense to destroy you.
Yeah, he was one of the all-time greats.
These young players have such an opportunity to just, especially with these big brains, with Vic Fangio coaching them up, holy cow, the possibilities are endless. Their instincts are there to begin with, and then you add that level of just expertise. Holy cow.
Watching these guys throughout the course of the year, at first I thought they were just too naive to realize how big the situation was.
Yeah.
And then as the season went on, I'm thinking, no, these guys are just really freaking good.
Yeah.
They're just really good athletic and tough. And you're right, next level. And they just, you know what? I deserve to be here.
And it looks like Jalix Hunt is coming on like a freight train.
Yeah.
That guy is going to be a real player next year and probably for a long way here. All right, couple final minutes with Jason here. Parade day tomorrow. Jason with us a few more minutes right now. Now, one of the things that's so fun about getting Jason in studio is we can really drill down and like, let me put it this way.
I want the truth!
All right. So, let me say this. Seltzer, we got to get to the important things.
This is important.
So, you know, Jason, I wave the cautionary flag at myself sometimes to not put you in a position to spill the beans too much. Because, you know, I respect that you were behind the walls of the NovoCare complex for years, and you got to keep some stuff in-house. I respect that.
Sure.
But we found out the Tush Push is not the Tush Push. Let's listen to the Tonight Show two nights ago. We're going to see, because I think it's a dirty name. And I got to guess, but we're going to find out. We're not going to find out. Let's listen to what happened on the Tonight Show coming up.
Jalen, you scored three touchdowns on Sunday. You did. The first one was doing what people are calling the Tush Push. Is that what you call it?
It's not what I call it.
It's not what you call it.
It's not what I call it.
what do you call it?
You know, I'm not going to say what I call it, but it's
not. Okay, but it's not.
You know, everybody is came up with their own name for it. You know, the brotherly sub, the tush push, all these different things. It's not that.
It's not that. No. Okay.
I was shocked, too, because when I got there, I known it as the tush push, but I didn't know if that's what it would be called, but I thought it was called that, and it's not called the tush push, actually.
No. What is your role in the quote-unquote tush push?
I think I have the easiest job, to be honest. I think I'm the one who pushes the tush.
So good. So good. And that is Saquon and obviously Jalen and Jimmy Fallon. All right, so Jason, I've heard two different theories. Now, I don't think we're going to get the truth out of you because I think it can't be said. That's my guess. I've heard two theories. Theory one is it's something really simple and bland like quarterback sneak.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Theory two is it's something really dirty.
Yeah.
And that's why it couldn't be said on The Tonight Show. Like, it's not the tush push, it's like anal annihilation.
Jeez.
Like something like they want to say on the tush. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's very creative, Jess.
Like, all right?
That is very creative.
Wow. And that's why they won't want to say it on The Tonight Show. So, like,
we can say it on The Morning Show.
Right? All right, so Jason, would you say it's more like anal annihilation or quarterback sneak?
I would say that I think the play is just called quarterback sneak. But the what they call it and what it's called, I think, as a play coming in, the reason they're not saying it is because I think it's also the play, it's also the word you would use if you were just going to run it at the line. Mm-hmm. That's why they're not saying it. It's not because it's a dirty play.
They don't want the defense to hear it.
If they say that it's called, then all of a sudden they use that code word at the line of scrimmage, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're obviously doing this.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Obvious when they're running it anyway. There's four guys right behind the quarterback.
Wouldn't it be great if Jalen called it I score? I score.
Well, I remember the one time, Jason, you were lining up and you because the NFL Films had the audio, you said to, I guess, the nose tackle or nose guard, whatever you call it, you know what's coming. You know what's
against
coming.
The Cowboys, yeah. I mean, if you know how to run it, it's pretty unstoppable. And I guess the only dirty, a lot of teams in the league call it dick. Like seriously, the quarterback comes up, and if there's an open A gap, he'll come up and say, dick, 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 dick. And then you just freaking. But anyways.
That is a butt anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
No, because they can get you.
That's great, man. That's so good. All right, Jason, final couple things here. Give us let's do two things. One, the advice to the current players and we'll get into this much more in the offseason.
Sure.
But like, you know, maintaining focus to not have what happened to you guys in 2018. To, you know, just how do you, I mean, it's late, you know, it's harder when you play that long. You have a better team, but it's harder. The schedule is going to be hard.
Yeah, they just played
20
games.
All that stuff.
Right,
yeah,
21 games.
What's the advice on how to best handle belief? Because Cole in 09 was the worst Cole.
Was not good.
It was the worst version of Cole Hamels.
It was not good,
right?
Yeah.
So he was the guy in 08 and struggled
MVP
in 09.
World Series in 08, and then 09, he just wasn't the same dude.
So, well, Jason,
we were at training camp the following year after the Super Bowl, and there were highlights playing, audio highlights from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was right after we heard Doug Peterson talk to the team about, hey, guys, after this ring ceremony, no more discussion about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait. These are highlights playing of the Super Bowl at training camp,
which fans obviously love. But Jason,
but the team, it's not setting them up for success.
How do you manage? How do you manage it, Jason?
I think the obvious answer is you just have to keep being hungry and having that focus of trying to get better each and every week. I think the same thing that got them there this year is what they're going to have to do next year. What makes that challenging? After you've won a championship, everybody kind of thinks, you know, they're the reason in some way that they run, even if they're not vocalizing it. And I think it becomes difficult to manage everybody being the exact same over another season. And then also you're going to lose guys. You're going to lose coordinators. You're going to lose players. There's going to be guys that were instrumental pieces here that will not be here next year. And then the other reason it's hard and what they're not going to be able to control necessarily is the fortune of getting there. Like, there's health and things going right. There's a part of that that happens just by happenstance that needs to happen for you to get to a championship. I think you need to have the talent, you need to have the fortune, and you need to have coaching all coalescing in the right mind. And then you also have the character. I think that they're going to be set with character. They have a core group of guys that's going to be fantastic. I don't think that that's going to be anything that's going to slow them down next year. I think that as long as they stay healthy, and as long as the coaches can continue to improve and get the best out of these guys, which we know on defense that's going to happen because Vic is back. The big question is who's going to be the offensive coordinator and how is that going to evolve? But they still are, I mean, there's so much talent over there. anticipate, as long as they're healthy, I feel very good about this team moving forward.
Yeah, they're in a great spot. They are. All right, final thing here with Jason, and then right back to the phones. So, Jason, you are Mr. Philadelphia. I mean, few people have ever come through that have had the impact you had as a player and person on our town. Final thing, if you could, on the eve of another parade, your happiness for the city of Philadelphia, man, because I know it is so genuine that you're so happy for so many millions.
You know, I had a very fortunate career playing here for 13 years and having a lot of, you know, success as an individual, as a group, as a team. And, you know, obviously we won it all in 2017, but there's so many relationships and people, and not even just within the organization, like in Philadelphia, where I'm immensely happy for all of the Eagles on this year's team, guys that I played with, guys that I played for, people that I was in that building with. I mean, I still go into that building nonstop. And I'm immensely happy for this city and the celebration that they're going to get, right? And I think that, obviously I was torn at times during the game because my brother was on the other team, but the reality is, I was not rooting for one or the other. There are so many people I care about with the Eagles organization, and I also care about my brother. And that was difficult at times to manage, especially with the way the game went and how hard, obviously, I was feeling for him. But I love this city, and I love this freaking team. And God damn it, don't do this to me, Joe.
We're so happy for you, Jason. You laid the foundation, man. You were part of laying the foundation all this. You really were.
It's such a credit to you.
You
and the
should
work
have
laid
nothing to do with me. Stop that right now. And these guys have earned this so much, and I'm so happy for all these guys. And I can't wait to chug some beers tomorrow and enjoy an awesome parade.
Hey, everybody, get yourself some Garage Beer. That is Jason's beer, Garage Beer. It's going to be flowing tomorrow on an extremely extraordinary special day for the city of Philadelphia. Jason, we love you. We thank you. And we'll keep this going, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. Jason, yeah. Stay well. Stay well and enjoy tomorrow because it's going to be quite a day.
All right.
Thanks, Jason.
There he
Let's
is.
Go, baby!
There it is. Jason Kelce. All right.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.